And we welcome you to another edition of Giants First and 10 here on MSG as we get you set for the Giants and the Oakland Raiders. Big Blue coming off the bye. Joining me as always, our Hall of Famer, Harry Carson, our Super Bowl, two-time Super Bowl champion, Carl Banks, and a member of Super Bowl 42, Amani Toomer joins us here on the program. We're going to get started in just a second, but let's take a look at the menu is what's coming up on the show. We'll talk with Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. You don't want to miss that. We sent Paul Dottino into the Giants locker room. You'll hear from Victor Cruz along with Justin Tuck. Steve Weatherford joins us on set in studio in our player spotlight segment. Also coming up on the show, the Giant uniforms will have a little different look this week. We'll tell you about that. Plus, Carl Banks will have strategy, and we'll have our keys to the game. But we put item number one up on the board. It is called No Huddle. 25 seconds on the clock for our captain and our Hall of Famer, Harry Carson. Are the Giants back after two
wins?
Well,
hopefully they are back. You come off of a bye week, two wins under your belt. You don't give up a touchdown, but you got five field goals. You got to do better than that. It gives these guys an opportunity to reflect and to move forward positively. The season didn't start the way we wanted it to start, but the bleeding has stopped, hopefully.
Ooh, just made it. No false start to start. The Giant defense in the last 29 possessions against have not allowed a touchdown. Carl Banks, this Giant team, you're channeling Pink Floyd and another brick in the wall?
I think they got to put another brick on the foundation. They've done a lot of good things over the last few weeks. A week off, they're refreshed, running backs are healthy. Lay another brick on the foundation towards getting back to relevance. They're not relevant yet. But if they just keep building those building that foundation one by one, you look up and maybe they'll be relevant at the end.
All right, later on in the program, Carl's going to dial into the coach's tape in our strategy segment. All right, Amani Toomer joins us this week. And Amani, although the Giants have won two in a row, you're saying don't get ahead of yourselves just yet, Giants fans, when it comes to the playoffs.
Look at this season. They've lost so many games in the first six games. The last 3 weeks, they haven't lost a game. So a lot of the Giant fans are getting a little excited about it. I want to say caution the Giant fans because, they only have two wins. There's a lot of work left to do. The defense is playing better. The offense is playing better. But still, even if they win this week, they're still only 3-6. So there's still a lot more back to relevance. A lot more they need to get back to relevance.
Look at that. Flag. We get the, we get the offensive guy. Even when Roman's in that
procedural.
Spot.
You know what? When you're not cheating, you're not trying, right?
There you go.
You got to get all the time you can get.
Wow, he sounds like a real Coughlin player. All right, time for item number two. We put it up on the board, which is Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. I had a chance to sit down with the head coach of the Giants earlier this week as they get ready to take on the Raiders. All right, as you embark upon the second half of your season with the Oakland Raiders coming up, your team has not given up a defensive touchdown against in 10-plus quarters. You got to go back to the Chicago game. You've controlled the run fantastically. What have been some of the changes that you've seen in that unit for them to be as successful as they've been?
Well, we've played pretty good run defense all the way through, and now we are putting a little bit more pressure on the quarterback. We're contesting the throws. We had some sacks against Philadelphia. We had some turnovers against Philadelphia. All those things are huge pluses, but there's a great feeling coming alive on our defense, a camaraderie thing, if you will, not let the other guys down.
Offensively, obviously, as you get ready for the second half of the season, you had a chance to look back on the first eight games. You're starting to develop a running game, and Peyton Hillis gave you that in the Philadelphia game. Talk about that physicality that you need in the second half, especially as the weather has turned.
Well, we've rushed the ball 32 times and 31 times in the last two games. Not for the yardage we want, but the fact that we've had some balance. We've rushed it so that it is not all pass, pass, pass. That balance itself, one, has created some opportunities in play action pass, and two, it has taken the pressure off the quarterback somewhat because we are going to stick with the run and sometimes in situations where the defense does not anticipate it.
All right, you're playing the Oakland Raiders. This is kind of one of those unfamiliar foes. I mean, it's a team that you only play every couple of years. They're coming from the AFC. I guess it kind of fell at the right time for you, didn't it, as far as the bye was concerned, where you had a little extra time to prepare for?
Yeah, we do our studying in the offseason, though, as well. I know they had a quarterback competition in training camp, and Pryor won that award. But nevertheless, we have studied them. We've looked at them. We've studied their personnel. We've had a chance now, having played a lot of games, to see them both good and bad. For example, their defense has played very, very well. They were ninth in the league going into their game against Philadelphia. And Philadelphia just had one of those days. Everything they did was right. Nothing that they did was wrong, and they compiled a lot of points on the board. They're very dangerous, Oakland is, offensively. Look at the numbers. Well over 500 yards total offense, only 20 points, but an awful lot of yardage and a lot of people that have to be defended.
All right, final question. Obviously, you didn't have the first half that you wanted to, obviously, but the opportunity exists. No one ran away with the division. You got three home games coming up. This team energized by the opportunity that sits ahead?
We're excited about that. We have an eight-game schedule, one game at a time. Oakland Raiders coming to MetLife Stadium, so we're excited about that preparation.
That's Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. Imani, I'm going to start with you since you played for Coach Coughlin. Mm-hmm. The Giants have won five consecutive games coming off the bye. What are some of the things that you noticed from him and the staff, because it's the same staff when mm-hmm. you were here too, that these guys do to get the team ready after a bye?
Well, this is a staff that's very competent. If you give them enough time to look at film, to break down another team, they'll do it in a great way. Now you're going to get, not only are you getting the coaching staff on the same page, but you're getting the players a little bit more healthy. You're getting some players starting to come back from injury. And when that happens, the Giant team is going to be the team that we expected them to be early on in the season before the injury started to happen.
Well, I think we need to keep our fingers crossed that, you know, these two games that they've won, you know, they don't go overboard with it, as you mentioned earlier. You know, these guys, they really need to just stay focused and continue to do the one play at a time thing and just go out and just pound people. You got the running backs coming back. Andre Brown is coming back. Brandon Jacobs is coming back. And so you're going to have power in the backfield at the running back position. And I think, you know, that bodes well for this team that they don't necessarily have to rely on the pass and Eli's arm.
And, Carl, they got to get something more out of special teams. They've given up three punt returns for touchdowns,
right,
and a bad snap has led to four
and
returns.
No self-inflicted drive killers. That's been the key also to just barely getting by and not putting more points on the board.
All right, we are just getting rolling here on Giants First and 10 here on MSG. When we come back, Paul Dottino works the Giants locker room. We'll hear from Victor Cruz, Justin Tuck, and many others as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG.
They don't give up very many big plays, I think, and so they do a good job of keeping things underneath and making tackles and kind of make you have long drives be patient. And so I think a lot of times what that does is give you completions, but it's not, those completions aren't always leading to first downs, and you kind of got to get two or three completions to get first downs.
Welcome back to Giants First and 10. Quarterback Eli Manning, the last time he played against the Raiders, 2009, a perfect quarterback rating of 158. He was 8 of 10 with two touchdown passes, only needed to play a half. All right, we take you inside the Giants locker room as we put up item number 3, and we welcome in our intrepid reporter, Paul Dottino, who takes a closer look at the Giants, especially, Paul, not from the offensive perspective.
Yeah, well, you know, Bob, during the bye week, the coach and the players like to get a little introspective and figure out what they weren't doing very well during the first half of the season. And Tom Coughlin told his offensive players that they are settling for too many field goals.
We were getting a good job of getting in the red zone and getting there, but the key is to finish when we get there. So I think we applied a little bit of emphasis on, once we get into that red zone, to score and to put points on the board within ourselves as receivers and running backs and everyone. So we're excited for that. We're excited to put that to the test come Sunday, but that was definitely a point of emphasis for us, is finishing once we get in the red zone.
I think it was just execution. You know, I think looking back on the Philly tape with all those trips down there, the opportunities were there. For whatever reason, we just couldn't seem to get it in the end zone. You know, part of it was that they're a talented team, but we should be talented enough to score touchdowns at times, so more than zero times.
Now, so far this year, the Giants have 9 touchdowns on 19 trips inside the red zone. Only the Jacksonville Jaguars, with 5 such touchdowns, have a fewer number in the league. So, Harry, why has the execution been lacking down there?
Well, you know, they're pretty good at spreading the ball around midfield, but in terms of getting to the 20-yard line in, you know, they are not really meeting that challenge. And for me, as a defensive player, that really is a win for the defense if they're only going to give up a field goal. if you give up, you know, two or three field goals during the course of a game, you know, for a defense, you have to feel pretty good to keep a team out of the end zone.
Yeah, and to that point, it holds true for spread offenses. They run out of field. But the way the Giants had been running the football, it's inexcusable that they can't get it into the end zone. They run the ball down to the one-yard line, and then procedural penalties pushes them out, and they have to get field goals. So it's just a matter of them eliminating the self-inflicted wounds.
And the other thing is they've had a bunch of drop passes
in
the end zone this year that, you know, those are things that in the past have clicked, which has enabled the Giants to score touchdowns. All right, go to the other side. Now, the Giant defense has been fantastic over the last four or five games. And, in fact, they've gone 10-plus quarters without allowing a touchdown on the defensive side. And the Giants have controlled the run. The longest run against the Giants this year is 34 yards, and that's by Michael Vick. And if you look at the last five games against the elite backs of the NFL, Jamaal Charles, Shady McCoy twice, Matt Forte, and Adrian Peterson, the Giant defense has allowed 85 carries for 254 yards. That's 3.0 yards per carry. So, Paul, that takes us to item number four, the Giants' defense in controlling the run.
Yeah, well, Bob, the problem is the running quarterbacks have given the Giants some issues. And even though the Raiders' Terrell Pryor has a 61% completion mark, it's his feet that causes the Giants the most concern.
I think he's probably probably the fastest, on the exception of a healthy RG3 and a healthy Vic. I mean, I think Pryor is right there in that category of just being that fast. I think he's clocked at 4.4, and he's all of it.
He is a bigger guy, and on film it just seems like he has long strides and is able to move east and west pretty fast. But, I mean, if everyone's seen that run that he did on the Steelers, he's definitely capable of making the big play.
The 93-yarder against Pittsburgh, the longest run by a quarterback in NFL history. Carl, when he takes off, he really takes off.
Well, he does. But Harry will tell you the key to stopping runs and running quarterbacks, and the reason why this defense is having so much success, is they are very disciplined in their gap responsibilities. They're not taking a lot of chances, and that'll frustrate an offense because now you got to work extra hard to beat the guy in the hole. And when a back shows up, and there's a player in the hole, if they can't run you over, it's normally a tackle for 1 yard or less.
Yeah, you got to have a controlled rush on a guy like Pryor. You got to really keep him in the pocket. But if he does get out, everybody's going to have to get on their horses and go after him. And those guys down the field, they have to be alert for him running down the field and be able to meet him at the point of attack and get him down.
Paul, good stuff. Paul's going to be back a little bit later on in the program, and you don't want to miss it because the Giant uniform is going to have a little different look this week, and Paul's going to give us the details of that with Joe Skiba and Equip. Looking forward
Indeed.
To it.
Indeed. Thank you, Bob.
All right. Don't forget, Giants First and 10 debuts every week here on MSG on Friday nights. Let's take a look at the other times in which Giants First and 10 will air throughout the course of the weekend with a rebroadcast on Friday nights throughout the day on Saturday, and you can also catch it on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. on MSG. Still to come, our player spotlight. When we come back, joining us in studio, Giants punter Steve Weatherford as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. On Sunday, it's the Giants and Oakland Raiders. Time for this week's player spotlight. Item number five, he is a free spirit, Giants punter Steve Weatherford.
Daddy needs a new pair of shoes.
Weatherford punt.
Beautiful kick. What a punt by Weatherford.
He angles the kick, and that is a beauty.
The New York Giants is the crown jewel of the NFL. You know, I've been here since 1925, really a pioneer of the NFL. So for me to be a part of one of those world championship trophies is just an unbelievable feeling for me. I instantly felt like I was part of the family, and it was so easy for me to hop right in the foxhole with those guys and pour my heart out on the field.
Does anybody know what a Pirate's favorite letter is? It's not an R. It's a C.
And we're going to say get fit on three. Ready? One, two, three. Get fit. Good job, guys.
No, that is incorrect. It's Full House. And I know you watched that.
I did.
I've actually seen a picture of you with Mary and Kate.
That's a very valid picture, too.
Weatherford to punt. Takes a waist-high snap. Spiraling kick near sideline, outside the numbers, and it bounds at the five. Wow, what a punt by Weatherford.
We got jail position today. We pushed them back. Nice job, Steve, pushing her back there.
Good job
with that.
Giants TV.
Whammy.
Well, Steve Weatherford not only gets the job done, he has fun doing it, and he takes some time to join us here in studio. Wow, this is the calmest I think I've seen you in a long time.
Yeah. No, hey, I love me some Lee. I could watch that all day.
It's pretty fun, right? It's pretty fun. What, how did you unwind during the bye weekend?
I've got three kids. I try my best to be a committed husband and father. It's something that's very important to me. I had great parents, very blessed as far as that's concerned. My dad coached me growing up. And so just to take some time to appreciate them. And, I took a day to take each kid out of school and spend the entire day for them. So I really enjoyed my family and also got, I took some time to come up here and work out, something I'm also passionate about.
All right, so we're back into swing of things. But the question I always want to know, do you consider yourself an offensive player or a defensive player? Because you're at the end of a drive, mm-hmm. but you also are positioning your defense.
It's a great question, Carl. And for me, I would say I'm more of a defensive player because I can be the defensive coordinator's best friend if I'm able to execute my skill, by pinning the guys deep. And, I think one of the things in the past that I've really helped the team do is pin the ball inside the 10-yard line. That really helps Prairie Fuel as far as game planning against offenses because it's really going to adjust what they're going to call for plays as the opposing offensive coordinator. So I would say I'm a defensive player, but, obviously coming in and performing well, I'm helping the offense out if they're, maybe struggling a little bit. So, if I had to pick, I'd say defense.
Now, what do you say? What goes through your mind when you kick a ball, doesn't quite go where you want it to go, and everybody knows it's on you? You're walking over to the sideline, and you see Tom Coughlin. What's going through your mind?
Well, that happened to me last game. My first punt of the game. It's windy. It's swirling. And my first punt was 32 yards out of bounds. And first person to meet you on the sideline, Tom Coughlin, he's like, we need you today. I'm like, Coach, I'm here. I promise you. And I was very fortunate. My next two punts were both inside the 5-yard line, like a 56 and a 68 yarder. So, you have to have
counting.
Yeah, not that I'm counting, but it was 68 out at the three. But for me, you have to have short-term memory because you're only as good as your next play. And for me, if I would have gone into the tank after hitting a 32-yarder when my team needed me, I wouldn't have been able to come up big for us later in the game when it was a field position battle. So,
the lost art of directional punting. A lot of people try it, but very few get it right. And talk about what that takes, because you have been pretty good, not just getting it outside the numbers, but really directional punting.
Yeah, it's a skill. I think being athletic helps. As a punter growing up, I idolized Jeff Fiegels. And, the fact that he's my friend now. Right. And I think when I first got his cell phone number, I looked at my phone. I'm like, oh, man, I got Jeff Fiegels' cell phone number. And for me, he's been an incredible mentor because it is a skill. And it's much more difficult than just banging the ball 60 yards down the middle.
Like a slice if you don't hit it right. Correct?
Yeah, so, if you're off by a quarter of an inch, by the time the ball gets down to where you're aiming, it could be off 7 yards. So that's the difference between the ball going out at the 11-yard line or the 18. So it is a skill. It's an art. And you also have to trust yourself because if you don't trust your angle and take what it is you think the way that you're going to go, and you kind of pull it in at the last second, it's not going to work for you. So you have to trust yourself, and it takes time because I didn't really get good at it until probably 2 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, when did you pick this up? This is something that you picked up when you came to the Giants, when you had punted in the league before. So how long did it take you to make that transition? And
when I figure it out, I'll let you know. I still don't have it down pat, but every year I'm learning different tricks and tools to the trade to improve, become more consistent, because it's a lot more difficult to be consistent when you're trying to be so precise on the sideline. Nobody notices if somebody's swinging for the fence and they mishit it. It might go 46 yards, but if I mishit a directional punt, it could be a 32-yarder. So
It's definitely difficult. It's got its pros and cons, because if you hit the ball well, it totally eliminates the returner. But if you don't hit it, if you don't hit it well, you know, everybody's going to notice. Yeah. So, you know, it's a high risk, high reward play. But I think that's the reason that, that Coach Coughlin wanted me here and has kept me here, is because I do have that skill. And I think that's something that he really appreciated about Jeff Fiegels.
Steve, we appreciate a couple minutes. Good luck on Sunday against the Oakland Raiders in the second half of the season.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having
me on.
Thanks,
sir. He does a lot of stuff. TV, he's working out all the time. He's got products.
And
obviously, he has a lot of fun. When we come back, the Blitz with Anita Marks as we continue with Giants first and 10 here on MSG. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. It's the Giants and Raiders on Sunday. Still to come on the program, we'll tell you about the different look to the Giants uniforms this weekend. In our online segment, Paul Schwartz of the New York Post and Art Stapleton of The Record, and we'll have our keys to the game. But time to put item number 6 up on the board. We welcome in Anita Marks for this week's Blitz.
All right, here we go, gentlemen. NFC East and the AFC West could not be more polar opposite when it comes to the standings. The Giants, their division, as we know, is led by the Cowboys at 5-4. Here's your question. True or false, the NFC East winner will have a record over 500. A minute on the clock. Time to discuss.
What do you think?
I think they will. I think the winner of the East will have a over 500 record.
9-7, you think?
Yeah.
Lonnie?
It might be 10 wins. You know, the seasons are changing. They're going to have a lot of teams coming from colder climates coming in to play some of these teams in the East. I definitely got to think the NFC East is going to have a, make a big comeback towards the end of the season.
So you think you think someone will get to 10 wins, 10-6?
I definitely think 10 wins, no question.
If you've got three games out of...
Well, that's bad news for the Giants, and they got to win all of them.
Three games out of conference, you pretty much got a shot at that, especially most of the teams in the East are getting healthier, and a lot of the teams out West are losing.
Yeah, as we saw last weekend, I mean, the Redskins had a huge win against San Diego. Dallas survived, but they beat Minnesota, and Philadelphia won. You know, maybe the NFC East is starting to get better. Maybe they're not as bad as they were at the beginning of the year. I still think 9-7, if I had to make a guess, I think 9-7 is going to
be. Yeah, it's
going to
be over 500.
So no more NFC East.
No.
Okay, here we go. Next question. The Giants have three former Oakland Raider players on the roster right now. Tight end Brandon Myers, wide receiver Lewis Murphy, and guard Kevin Booth. Overrated or underrated? Players extra motivated when they play against their former teams. Another minute on the clock. Discuss.
Extra motivated.
Or, come on, you were a Redskin.
Is it overrated
uniform.
Or underrated that they're extra motivated?
What was it like when you played against the
overrated.
Giants as a Redskin?
It's overrated. I didn't want to be with the team I was with. I hated it. You know, I thought I was going to a team that would embrace me, but it was such personal, the Giant-Redskin rivalry. It was so personal, they still thought I was with the other team. But I had no ill will towards the Giants. I represented some of the best years ever in the organization. So for me, it was like, let's just go out, let me get my job done, and go on to the next one.
No, I didn't get a chance to play because I tried out for the Kansas City Chiefs and got injured and got released. So, but when as soon as I signed, the first thing I did was look on the schedule and see if I was going to play the Giants, of course. Just like, your old girlfriend, you always want to look extra, you know, you want to look real tight when your old girlfriend's
motivated,
running by.
Motivated, no, but not overly motivated.
I would have been overly motivated.
You would have been.
Oh, definitely.
Wow.
I found from my experience when I was working in the NBA that it was a bigger deal because you could actually, I went over.
In that sport,
you could actually kind of try to take over a game.
You can.
Whereas in football, it's 11 guys. You might have been all fired up.
I could take over a game.
What if your quarterback stunk?
Yeah.
Here we go. Question number 3. Raiders are identified by their fans just as much as their players. Raider Nation, they travel well. MetLife Stadium, probably going to have a ton of Raider Nation fans. Here's your question. Most unique fans you've seen either covering or playing in the NFL. Another minute on the clock. Go ahead.
I would have to say the Raider fans. I grew up in the Bay Area, so when I went back there in 98, my first opportunity, I remember walking on the field and seeing all these crazies and thinking, I grew up here. Where are these people coming from?
Black hole.
I got in no particular order, but I will put the black hole first. Then I've got the dog pound. And who else would I put in that category? The Hogs.
I was just saying the Redskins, right? Yeah.
Those are unique, three unique groups.
They're no longer, right?
No,
they hung up their dresses, their dresses are like in camp.
They went corporate and got them out of there.
They retired, but that's right. The dog pound, the original Cleveland Browns at old Cleveland Municipal Stadium, they really ate dog biscuits?
Yeah.
Or were they just cookies made like dog biscuits?
No, they were dog biscuits.
They were actually dog biscuits.
Were they gluten free?
Wow. All right, good stuff, Anita.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you, gentlemen. Always a fun time.
No, thank you.
The Blitz for this week with Anita Marks. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Carl Banks goes to the coach's tape with strategy as we continue with Giants First and 10 right here on MSG. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG on Sunday. It's the Giants and Raiders at MetLife Stadium. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff. All right, time for item number 7. Giants are going to have a little different look this weekend. For more, here's Paul Dottino.
All right, Bob. You know, the Giants decided that this week against Oakland, they're going to add some nostalgia to the day. So I had a chance earlier to talk with equipment manager Joe Skiba. Well, fans, when you watch the Giants on Sunday against Oakland, you're going to see something just a little bit different. You're going to see some white pants on these guys. And, Joe, that's something fans haven't seen with the Giants since 1999.
Yeah, it's something that I've been getting a lot of questions about is when we're going to be breaking out these white pants. But overall, it's going to be a different look. And I think it kind of stems from, you know, I kind of term it a modern throwback.
Now, the white pants did start in 68 when Tarkenton was a quarterback. Let's take a look at this real quickly and what specifically is different about it.
So usually every November, I usually, you know, walk up to John Mara's door, you know, knock, knock, knock. Hey, you know, what do you think about switching something up this year? He looks up at the 1980s uniforms. It was an all-white uniform. And he goes, I think we should go back to white pants, maybe for the home jerseys. I was like, you know, I was thinking about going back to blue pants, you know. A little bit different, you know, a little different.
That's when Giants Stadium opened in 75 at Shea,
yes,
too.
Yes, exactly. Maybe we could find a happy medium. Maybe we could make the 80s and the 90s fans happy, as well kind of put in a modern take on the current home uniform.
And that's why the extra stripes here.
And so what we decided was we kind of went with the blue, gray, red, gray, and blue pant, which we haven't had ever in our history. It's kind of a throwback look for this current uniform.
And so we will see these against the Dallas Cowboys in a few weeks as well.
Yes, this weekend against Oakland and the Dallas Cowboys. And on top of that, to kind of get the whole 80s feel as well, is that we're going to bring back the white cleats as well. So for two games, it's going to look a little different. A little headache on my end of things, but you know, it's well worth it.
And finally, sneak preview. Anything coming down the pike in 2014?
This is what I'll have to say. If this look goes off, as I think it will, you'll see it a lot more. You know, I kind of have my own ideas how I want to kind of take what the uniform looks like in the away uniform as well as the home uniform. So a little more headaches for myself going into next year, but I think it will be worth it.
Designer Joe Skiba, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
They feel pretty good, too. Really? Seriously?
Well, you look pretty damn good.
Look at the Tino. Stand up.
I mean... Well,
come on.
I've been hearing a lot about how these guys need some help with punt coverage. I'm thinking maybe.
Look at Dottino.
One hit, Paulie, is all I'm telling you. You get one hit.
Pull your jacket. Look at Dottino. Right.
Oh, look at you.
I'm loving it.
Wow. Loving
it. Carl, you're a fashion guy. How a little runway
one
action
hit.
For me?
All I can say is it'll be a one-hitter quitter.
Wow. Look at Dottino. Halloween was last week. This is incredible. You know, I know you grew up a big Giants fan.
You can sit down.
Is this like a lifelong dream for you? You're
not
wearing
really.
Giant uniform pants.
Not really.
You'll go. You can die in 20 years, 30, 40, 50 years, and you'll be the hat. There will be not a better day in your life.
If you say so.
No wonder why you do all that walking every week.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Yeah. Walking in these cleats would really be painful.
You guys both wore the white pants. Did you wear it as well as Dot?
I don't know. Sit down, Paul.
Paul, let me ask you this. Any chance the blue jerseys that these guys wore when they won two Super Bowls, might we see that at some point in the future?
Well, from what I understand, these white pants, if they go over well, we may see them more next year. But in terms of the jerseys and the helmets, I'm not so sure we're going to see too many tweaks.
I'd like to see the white pants and the white jerseys.
How about the irony of it, though? Because they're playing 80s-style football these last couple of games, running it, smash mouth, ball control. Kind of fitting.
How about that? Not bad, Carl.
Paul Dottino, give you a lot of credit. You had to walk through the locker room like that, too.
Well, hey, if I had the blood on the pants, then I could really be like these guys.
Yeah, that's right. You keep them clean. They got them dirty. That's Paul Dottino taking a look at the look that the Giants will have this weekend when they take on the Oakland Raiders. All right, time for item number 8. Now we go X's and O's with Carl Banks and strategy.
All right, let's take a look at the Oakland Raiders defense. Pretty solid defense. And I think the key for being successful versus this front, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys on the defensive front. You've got on the offensive side of the ball, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, with a possible 7th guy as a fullback. So the numbers are there, but it's recognizing what the front is. The Raiders are in a bit of an over front, which means that they slid the line over to the right, and then they walked a linebacker up here at the line of scrimmage. So this is your free guy that you have to get blocked in the run game. If you turn one guy loose, it's not going to go well for the play. Keep an eye on 55. No one blocks him. Then they bring a second guy. Sack. You have 6 guys to block 5. You have to be able to account for each guy. Offensively, the Giant defense has been really good versus the run. It's very important to understand the formations if you're on defense and understand your gap control. It's all about gap discipline. When you see the pistol formation, you've got to know if you're an outside rusher, you've got to get up the field and contain each guy on the edge, because the pistol formation is designed to put pressure on the edge rushers. So let's take a look here. You've got a safety playing linebacker, and you have a linebacker. So if I slow this down, I'll freeze it here. End man is now blocked. The new end man at the line of scrimmage has to be here or here. Let's see what happens. He doesn't come up. Quarterback is free. Makes the play.
Strategy brought to you by PSE&G. We make things work for you. When we come back here on the program, our online segment, Pat Hanlon joins me along with Paul Schwartz of the New York Post and Art Stapleton of The Record as we continue with Giants First and 10 right here on MSG. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. It's time for our online segment. We bat around conversations about the Big Blue. Joining me as always, the Senior VP of Communications, Pat Hanlon, tanned and rested. Well, not necessarily tanned, rested off his week off.
Second half push, Bobby.
Second half push.
A lot of football left.
I know, but there's a half a season to go. Item number 9 goes up on the board. This is our online segment. Joining us on the program this week, Paul Schwartz of the New York Post and Art Stapleton of The Record. All right, gentlemen, is it realistic to think, Giants fans, that they're back in the race?
No, not yet.
No.
2-6 is not back in anything.
Let's not rush into this.
It's a lot better than 0-6, but no, you got to win a bunch of games in a row. Any team that's under 500, I don't care how many games you're out of first place, you got to earn it. You got to earn the right to win. No, that was a book. Earn the right to
by
be in contention.
Coughlin.
If you want a history lesson, a year ago at this time, the team that ended up winning the NFC East was actually further behind first place than the Giants are right now. So there's a fine line between optimism and delusion. And right now, the Giants are probably stuck right in the middle. You know, if you get to 5-6 after beating the Cowboys, then you could start talking realistically about being in a situation to win.
I chuckled on Monday when our friends wanted to know our reaction to the fact that all our division rivals won on Sunday. When you start 0-6 and you're getting ready to play your 9th game of the season, the last thing you're doing is scoreboard watching.
But when you start 0-6, you're going to need help, and your team is going. You got
to
help yourself,
you still have
and then
to,
you're going
right.
to need help.
Yes.
It's also the way those games unfolded, too, Pat. I mean, the players did admit that they were watching that Dallas game.
Of course you're watching, but
and obviously the Redskins, you still have 2 games against the Redskins in December, so if anything, if there's a team to take control of the division, at least right now, you'd rather be chasing the Redskins than chasing the Cowboys or the Eagles. But, again, it comes down to Oakland, and you catch a huge break with Aaron Rodgers' collarbone. That is a huge break for the Giants.
You're looking ahead. It comes down to us. It comes down to the Giants, and it comes down to us taking care of our own business.
All right, next item that we're going to talk about here is the running back situation. I mean, a couple weeks ago, they barely had enough running backs to practice. Obviously, with Andre Brown coming back, the Giants get a much-needed lift as far as the running back position.
Yeah, I don't know right away this first game if you're going to see the Andre Brown of last year when he could be a 15, 20 carry guy. But he was the best running back on the team last year. He's a tough, strong, as Tom Coughlin said, you forget he's 230 pounds. That night in Foxborough when he broke his leg again, he looked devastated. The fact that he can come back midway through the season, I think is going to be maybe not what John Beeson did to the defense, but I think it can be a really uplifting thing for this offense.
That's a great point. And I do think that, with Brown there, it's less of a tax on Peyton Hillis and Brandon Jacobs. And those guys are two big guys. They're physical backs. And they would take a pounding if there wasn't anyone else to spell them. Now I think you're going to look at, early downs, you're going to see Brown. But I do think that third down, Peyton Hillis has proven that he is an asset on this offense, both picking up the blitz and as a dump off, Eli safety valve. He's been huge for this offense the last couple weeks.
And Andre Brown on the goal line is excellent. Last year he was excellent in the goal line. He's very good in that. That's something you don't have.
Here's what Peyton Hillis has given us. He's given us a guy that when he gets the ball in his hands, he's going north and south. That's the same kind of back that Andre Brown is. We've run the ball over 30 times in these first two wins of the season. We haven't gotten the yardage that we need. You go north and south to get the yardage.
He's not going north too quickly, but at least he's cutting it up. Peyton Hillis.
He's moving quick enough.
Hillis has been. Eli's made a big point about this, that the third down conversions have been a heck of a lot more manageable since Peyton Hillis has gotten into this offense because of that safety valve factor.
Absolutely.
Instead of throwing the ball down the field, which is during 0-6, that's what they seemed like they were doing. It was a wing and a prayer. Now he has that confidence that Peyton Hillis is going to get you into a third and four rather than a third and 11, which is seemingly what they were in all throughout the first half.
All right. Obviously, in the Giants' win against Philadelphia, they got four sacks on the quarterback. They've been getting more hits on the quarterback the last couple of weeks. Jason Pierre-Paul, one sack in his last 15 games. With the second half of the season still to come, can Giants fans expect to see a guy who's a little bit more dominant?
It's like following a ping pong ball with JPP. A couple of weeks ago, he said, I'm not going to be 100% this whole year. He comes back after the, I don't know what spa or whatever he went through during the bye week, but he comes back this week and says, I'm at 90%, and the Raiders, they better bring their A game because I'm coming after them. So it's good to hear. I'd rather see it than hear it, but, there's something in this guy. If he can come back, it's a monstrously, big addition if he can come back and be the JPP of 2 years ago.
Wait till he's 150% next week.
But, if you have a conversation with JPP in the locker room and he has a group of reporters, if you're not there for the entire session, you may miss him saying the complete opposite of what he said.
It's like the
beginning
of just wait around.
Right. It'll change. It'll change, and that's kind of where JPP is at. I think back to last year when the idea was, I think Jerry Reese floated the idea out that, we're going to get Michael Strahan to talk to Jason about the mental part of the game. You can't worry about double teams. You can't worry about maybe what you see on film. And as much as it's a physical thing for Pierre-Paul, which we all expected after the back surgery, it's also a mental thing a little bit. I mean, he now that he's thinking that way, now you almost need him to go out this weekend and wreck the game. And if he wrecks the game, now maybe he starts believing that he truly is back to where he was.
All right, we're out of time. Quick prediction, Giants and Raiders.
I think it's a good spot for the Giants. I think the Giants will win by maybe 14 points.
All right.
I can see that, too. I see 28-14, something like that.
You excited for the second half?
Second half run, Bobby. Let's go.
Nice, smooth.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thanks, Artie.
Paul Schwartz, Art Stapleton. When we come back, keys to the game as we continue with Giants first and 10 here on MSG.
I love me some Lee. I could watch that all day.
Whack.
When you're not cheating, you're not trying, right?
Patino. Halloween was last week.
You go north and south to get the yardage.
He's not going north too quickly.
Welcome back to Giants First and 10 and our Geico recap brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com. All right, final part of the program. We're getting set for the Giants and Raiders. 1 o'clock, MetLife Stadium on Sunday. Item number 10, of course, the keys to the game. And we'll start with our captain and Hall of Famer, Harry Carson.
Well, the way I see it, this team has really gotten back on track, so to speak. But in order for this team to win, they have to not turn the ball over like they did early in the season. And they have to put on a good, hard rush with those guys up front. They're coming on now. They're playing much better. And they have to be able to control this quarterback.
Harry gets right to the point. Banksy?
Well, the recurring theme for me has always been taking care of the little things. And I'll say it again, but in a different sense, it's striving for perfection, meaning if you get to the red zone, no penalties that penalize yourself out of it, making you settle for a field goal. So the little things, strive for perfection.
All right, Imani, your keys to this game for the Giants.
Well, the last 2 weeks when they won, there was a balance, a 50-50, close to 50-50 run balance game win the run game in on offense. And so I think that if they can get back to that, the offensive line looks better, the quarterback looks better. The whole system is predicated on the play-action pass, and if they can get that legitimate threat of a run game, it just opens everything up for the offense. It doesn't force the quarterback into some throws that he's not very comfortable making, and it just looks a lot smoother. It looks like the team that we thought we were going to see when the season started.
How important is it, too, for this team to come out and get off to a fast start? You know, you're playing a team that got beaten up last week. Yeah. The Raiders, they've lost all three road games this year. They haven't won a road game in over a year. They've lost seven in a row on the road. It's a West Coast team playing at 1 o'clock. Definitely. To jump on them early and kind of take their spirit away.
Well, you have to really set the tempo. I mean, this team is really ripe for the picking right now. You got the Raiders coming in here, and you don't normally play against them. Don't really worry about who you're playing. Just get off to a quick start and just play, grind them out football, and attack, attack, attack. Don't go for the field goals. Go for touchdowns.
Play the game. All right, Giants and Raiders, 1 o'clock. Don't forget, it's also the food drive. Bring the non-perishable canned items to the stadium. Stop and Shop trucks will be there to collect them as you enter the stadium, all for a good cause. Well, that's it for time. For Harry Carson, Carl Banks, Imani Toomer, and our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for watching Giants First and 10 right here on MSG.